Dave and Darren. About to give you our top five things that happened on the morning show at planet939.com. Someone on our Facebook the other day said they enjoy the podcast, but it's a shame we're not on the radio.
I think they were joking.
God, I hope so.
I really...
Can I just say this? Knock it off if that was a joke. Because you about gave me a full-on aneurysm.
I think they were joking. But everybody was there to kind of try to clear things up.
Well, I appreciate that. Appreciate that.
I think they were jesting.
They better be, because so help me God. It's almost 2 years of this thing, you know?
I know.
I just miss you guys on the radio. We're glad you're listening to the podcast. That's for sure. You're here, obviously, or
somewhere. You're somewhere, aren't
Maybe
you?
Maybe you're not here. I don't know where
you are. Clearly somewhere.
The Top 5 Things podcast has a sponsor, right?
Yeah, it's brought to you by Nature's Treatment of Illinois. Tech Drive in Milan, West Main Street in Galesburg, both locations now open 7 days a week for your convenience. Nature's Treatment offers a wide selection of products for recreational use, including flower, vapes, edibles, and more, and their recreational waiting lists are available. You can reserve your time at ntillinois.com.
Number one.
I'm watching Jeopardy last night, and something happened that I've never seen in the history of the show. I don't think it's ever happened in the history of the show. I want to just play this for you. This is last night's Jeopardy. And tell me when you hear something weird.
All right.
And the weirdness is right at the beginning. Even before the show starts. It's during the introductions, okay?
Okay.
Tell me if you hear something weird here. All right.
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Jeopardy! Here are today's contestants. A social worker from Metairie, Louisiana, Jennifer Cronenberg.
Jennifer Cronenberger, a social worker from Louisiana.
Okay.
Nothing weird about that, right?
All right.
This next one, though. Pay very careful attention.
A nursing student and stay-at-home uncle from East Bend, North Carolina, Lawrence Long.
Stay-at-home uncle?
A returning champion.
Now I know what I want to be.
A nursing student
and stay-at-home uncle.
I gotta play that again. When I heard this, I thought, "There's no way I heard that right." There's no way I heard that right.
Oh boy,
I finally
know what I'm gonna tell people. What I'm gonna be when I grow up.
Today's contestants: a social worker from Metairie, Louisiana, Jennifer Cronenberger. A nursing student and stay-at-home uncle from East Bend, North Carolina, Lawrence Long.
Hello, Lawrence.
Oh, God. Oh.
He's a nursing student and stay-at-home uncle.
Now I know what to put on my taxes.
My occupation. I'm a stay-at-home uncle.
Oh, brother.
Isn't that marvelous?
Oh, this just opens up a whole new vista for me. I had no idea.
It was that moment that Darren
it's
knew.
Like,
It's a vocation, really. Lawrence Long says he's watched Jeopardy since he was a kid. He auditioned for the show in 2013 when he was in New York City.
Uh-huh.
Didn't make it on the show then.
Sure.
And stopped paying attention to the show after his audition.
You don't
audition.
Want me, I don't want you.
Exactly. But then the pandemic got him watching the show again.
Yeah. Relit the candle.
He says, I decided to audition again in September of 2020. I got a follow-up test in June of 2021, and then a Zoom audition in July and August. I got the call in October.
Well, then maybe you'll get the call.
Long turns 43 on Saturday, according to his hometown newspaper.
And?
He is your champion.
And he won?
He ended up winning. More than $23,000 and the title of champion. He is your new Jeopardy champ.
I bet.
So the stay-at-home uncle will be on tonight's show.
I bet his nieces and nephews were thrilled.
Going out of their minds. One, to get him out of the house.
Yeah, please. Juice, don't do something.
Now, Final Jeopardy clue.
Learning, is he learning to become a nurse at home? I mean, I think at some point, if you do any sort of like nurse, that sort of training, that there is actually like a clinical aspect to it, a very kind of hands-on.
I do it all at home. It's just all in my house.
You do nursing from home.
Yeah, the kids get a lot of scrapes and bruises and whatnot. So I put myself down as a nursing student. You know, after the third bruised knee, I thought, what am I, a nursing student? You know what? That goes along nicely.
Yeah,
with
the
stay-at-home
kids fall
uncle.
Down and they get scraped up a lot. And how old are they? Early 20s.
So he can't say how far along he goes. I mean, the standard practice with the show is you can't say whether you last more than one episode. He will be on tonight's episode.
Now, you can talk about it. You can talk about it after the episode is played.
After one episode is aired, you can say, like, yeah, I'm on Jeopardy.
But you can only talk about that episode.
Right, right.
Stay-at-home uncle.
He is also, he's listening.
That is marvelous.
Isn't that the
best?
Would
you please save that audio? Because I want you to be able, whenever we do any of our little bits, you can use that for open.
I'll just play that you're a nursing student and stay-at-home uncle.
Sure.
I know. Isn't that just the greatest?
Oh, my God.
And I'm kudos to the answer for reading this with a straight face.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been able to make it through it.
Well, no, not when you saw the word uncle.
Stay-at-home uncle.
A social worker from Metairie, Louisiana, Jennifer Cronenberger. A nursing student and stay-at-home uncle from East Bend, North Carolina, Lawrence Long.
Thank you.
And
thank you, Lawrence.
A returning champion. A consultant from Brooklyn, New York, Emma Salzberg.
Consultant? How boring. You got it.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
Well, I mean, I guess
this is my new favorite Jeopardy guy, and I want him to go very far.
I know what my final chapter will be.
After graduating with a bachelor's degree in English from Clemson, he went on to graduate school and worked in the North Carolina wine industry. He then became a sommelier at a restaurant in the Chicago area while studying improv at Chicago Theater's I.O. and the Annoyance Theater. He moved back to North Carolina when his niece was born in 2010 so he could help out his sister.
I thought you were going to say when his knees went bad.
So his
niece... Both my knees went out at the same time.
His niece is 11, going to be 12.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He says the stay-at-home uncle, that's because he doesn't want to undermine his sister's authority as a parent. Okay, great.
Neither do I.
He began prepping for Jeopardy in June, studying old episodes and testing his strengths and weaknesses. He was doing 300 Final Jeopardy rounds a day.
Oh, boy.
From October to November, I was preparing intensely while balancing my online course load and my uncle responsibilities.
Always with the uncle stuff.
I mean, you can play 300 games of Jeopardy when you're a stay-at-home uncle, right? He says, I would log the games by hand. I also started doing 45 minutes of Pilates every day to prepare for the physical stress of Jeopardy.
Now, is that something that you would consider?
We'll see how this cat does. He prepared for using the buzzer on Jeopardy by playing Mario Kart on Switch.
Switch.
He can't reveal how he did overall on Jeopardy, but he says he enjoyed the experience, and he says hopefully it's entertaining. His niece had one goal. He said, my niece had one goal for me, to tell Miam, that's the host of the show, Miam Bialik, how much of a fan she was, and I accomplished that early on. You know, my niece is a big fan. I'm sure Miam Bialik was like,
well,
your niece that you're a stay-at-home uncle for. Gotcha.
Yeah, I get the fact that you're trying to reinforce the fact that you're a stay-at-home uncle by throwing it out there that your niece is a big fan of mine. I see what you're doing here.
I get it. Do you want to hear the...
Creating an alibi.
He does pretty well, though, man.
Well,
I mean,
yeah, you said he won.
Yeah, he ended up winning this thing.
Ex-major leaguer Kenny Powers on this HBO series. Lawrence.
What is Eastbound and Down?
That's right. And with that, we will take a commercial break. We'll be back with more Jeopardy after this.
Don't go anywhere. I know you won't stay at home, Uncle. Where are you going to go?
Right. I'm right here.
I took this very seriously. I started doing Pilates and playing a lot more Mario Kart to
now,
get my
fingers
ready.
Now, is he actually in the studio for the Jeopardy studios, or is he Zooming?
No. They're in the Jeopardy studios.
He's not staying at home.
No, he's not a stay-at-home Jeopardy contestant. Just a stay-at-home uncle. Lawrence
Long.
Are
you going to put in that much training?
I'm going to tell you right now, if I get the call, you're not going to see me a lot. I will go into a very heavy training regimen, and I want to see how well this cat does. Like if he lasts a week, I'll be doing a lot of Mario Kart and Pilates.
Well, I was gonna say if you're doing that, I'd like to come by sometime and just get a, you know, film a few things, and so we can put together some sort of
training montage,
Rocky II montage.
That's marvelous.
And I'm basically, it'll be me, you know, the stay-at-home uncle. And here it is, just before you start training, where you're looking at me, and I'm, you know, I'm kind of laying in bed.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just like, when?
Now, David says here that back in Iowa, you host a morning show. Tell me about your morning show partner. Well, his name is Darren Pitcher. He's a stay-at-home uncle. And then I just give this look to the camera.
Yeah.
Remember? Yeah. Remember Lawrence Long? Mm. Yeah, that's our guy. That's who we're getting behind, everyone. Let's root for Lawrence Long on Jeopardy.
Number two.
There's a monkey park over in the UK. Trentham Monkey Forest. And I guess the monkeys aren't having sex like they'd like them to. Apparently, this is the time of year that monkeys should be mating.
Because of what? Valentine's Day?
Well, I think it's just the circle of life. I think that February is when monkeys mate. But they weren't mating there at the Trentham Monkey Forest.
Well, not with everyone watching.
Have you ever seen a monkey at a zoo? They don't care if you're watching. I've seen monkeys do...
Well, they don't care. They don't care if you watch certain things.
I've seen monkeys do things to themselves at the zoo. I don't like to look when I'm doing it to myself. And these monkeys are having at it.
Yeah, but that's not going to make any baby monkeys.
Well, that's true. Well, that's a good point. Well, how do you get these monkeys in the mood for mating? If you're the Trenton Monkey Forest, you hire a Marvin Gaye impersonator to sing Let's Get It On.
Couldn't you just play the record?
Well, that was my question.
You really?
Couldn't you just get a
boombox?
Boombox with a Bluetooth speakers? I think I'd rather
get
hear...
Get an old iPod and put it on repeat?
I think I'd rather hear actual Marvin Gaye.
Yeah, we don't have that kind of music licensing. With this many monkeys, you know what that would cost?
Do we have to pay by the monkey?
That's like paying for the Super Bowl at a bar.
Sounds nothing like Marvin Gaye.
Don't think that's the song.
He sang in a... this guy's name is...
Why are you playing it so loud?
It says here, Motown singer David Largy was hired yesterday to go to the Monkey Forest to serenade the monkeys to help them get it on at the end of this year's mating season. David Largy sang an array of classic love songs to offer the monkeys... It says here, a little bit of sexual healing.
Do they have any evidence that this would work?
This is basically someone at the zoo is friends with this guy, right? I wanted to get him a gig.
He's really, he needs it bad. he is what in the business we call struggling. Just
I don't understand the science of this.
No, I don't believe there is any. But that, of course, doesn't matter anymore.
I'm not to say that... I don't think it's unrealistic that Marvin Gaye would get people in the mood. I don't know if that works. I mean, certainly that works for people. I don't know if it works for monkeys.
Yeah, but not at that volume.
He is just standing there in front of all these monkeys, and the monkeys have this look on their face like, what is this about? Nobody asked for this.
No.
It says here, it's not immediately clear whether the music encouraged the animals to get down to business.
Well, I think there's your answer. If there's not evidence of it happening, then it didn't.
Well, okay. What's
Well, you think there's sort of going to be some sort of lingering effect?
What if the minute this guy grabbed the microphone and started singing, they just instantly started going after each other? I don't know that that's better.
Or frankly. Attacking him.
Making love to his leg. He's dressed in this white suit.
Well, yeah, that's no, right away. That's a bad idea.
Don't yeah. wear a white suit to a monkey house.
Yeah, a blue dress would be a bad idea, too.
Surely not again. Surely not again.
Dark blue dress isn't going to do you any favors either.
They say whether or not it got any of the animals to mate, it serves as an important reminder of just how important mating season is there at the Monkey Forest. It's the home of 140 Barbary macaques, an endangered species of monkey. There are fewer than 8,000 of them remaining worldwide. Staff at the monkey park thought this would be a creative way to encourage the females to show a little affection to males that might not have been so lucky in love. Good luck with that. Females in season mate with several males, so they never know who the father is of these monkeys.
Do they need to know? You know. I mean, are we drawing up legal papers?
Well, it seems to me if you really had to know, you could figure that out, right? Little monkey Maury Povich telling these monkeys whether or not they're the father.
Hello, I'm Monkey Povich.
The International Union for Conservation of Nature recategorized the Barbary macaques from vulnerable to endangered, which is not great for these monkeys. But that status is positive in terms of people taking note of how they are struggling.
Do you think that
in the wild?
Do you think that every day
struggling?
Maury Povich just sits in his dressing room with his face in his hands, going
no,
just like oh god. And when the producers come in to tell him what the topic's going to be today, well, we're going to find out. You know, it's paternity. Oh god, oh my.
No. I think he rolls around and he. I think what he does is he gets to the dressing room, he gets the check.
Yeah.
He looks at the mirror and grins like a Cheshire cat is what I think. Mm. I don't think he's no. That dude is 83 years old. He's 83.
But before he came to terms with it, do you think at one point he was like,
Who do you think Maury Povich was before the Maury Show? He was the host of A Current Affair. Maury Povich wasn't. You're thinking of Connie Chung that would feel bad about doing something this ridiculous. You're thinking of his wife. Maury Povich has always been this kind of sensational dude. This isn't new to him. You just like the idea of Maury Povich. Five minutes, Mr. Povich, and he's just
What's the topic today?
Oh, well, we're doing paternity again, Mr. Povich.
Oh, just kind of rubbing his palms on his eyes, just like, I know I'm going to do it. I, you know, there's no reason to pretend that I'm not going to do it, but just.
Is that all they do? Because it seems like that's all they do.
Well, that's what it eventually turned into, yes.
Uh-huh. Maury, the Maury Show has been on the air since 1991. It's its 30th year. He started that show, he was 53. He's 83. And he's still doing it. At some point, man, like, he must enjoy doing it, right? all new this month on
I wonder
Maury.
If they have, like, Legacy Week. Where it's kids who we determined this was your kid.
Well, they'd be in their late 20s.
That are now having their own disputes. It's Legacy Week.
That's not bad. Here's all new, all February.
This February.
This is the first time in the history of the show anyone has said this.
The love is futile.
It takes two to tango.
The guests are fearless.
These women are here to prove he's the father of all four of these children.
The results are final.
You are not the father.
Yes! Witness the drama unfold.
Stop playing with me.
It's February Fury, an all-new month of Maury.
So that is all the show is paternity. That's all it is.
But this week, it's Legacy Week.
I would watch that.
Kids who we determined who your father was has their own dispute.
Now, there's another show called Paternity Court that's on. Okay, Lauren Lake's Paternity Court.
Says that right in the name.
So, yeah, that's like the People's Court meets Maury Povich. That's been on for a while. That's very popular. One of these, you know, judge shows that's on for shut-ins, along with Judge Judy
what
and
do you mean
Judge
for
Show
shut-ins?
Brown. I don't know who's watching these judge shows at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. If you're somebody who watches judge shows, you're either a kid that's homesick from school, although they're not watching this.
Maybe second shift. I don't have to be at work till 2.
Divorce Court, Judge Hatchett. America's Court with Judge Ross, Judge Mathis, Judge
Wait a
Faith.
Minute. There's a Judge Hatchett?
Judge Judy Justice. Now, Judge Judy now is Judy Justice, by the way. She's got a new show. Judge Jerry.
I thought she was retiring.
No, you were a fool to believe her. She retired, and now she's back. She retired for like a minute. And then, isn't Steve Harvey a judge now? Isn't that a thing? Where Steve Harvey makes final judgments?
Wasn't there a brief period where it was Judge Reinhold? Didn't he have his own show, too?
Wait, Judge Reinhold was a judge?
I think he was. I didn't dream that.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't.
You're saying Judge Reinhold
I think actually,
had a TV show where he was the judge?
Yes.
I don't see anything. No. I don't think that's true, buddy. Mm. I think you made that up. Why would Judge Reinhold be a judge on a show?
Why not?
Because he doesn't have any experience as a judge.
What if they offered you that role?
Oh, I'd be great at it.
You would take it too, wouldn't
Hell
you?
Hell yes, I'd take it.
The robe and everything?
Oh,
The flowing robe?
Oh, I'd be striking. Yeah, I don't. I'm looking here at his entire filmography, buddy. I don't see anything where he was.
No, I think there was at least talk that was going to happen.
Judge Reinhold was going to get one of these judge shows.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the joke works unless you know who Judge Reinhold is. And I think that's not a big percentage of the American public would even get the joke. They would just think, his name is Judge Reinhold because he's a judge.
Well, he would actually be Judge Reinhold.
I want to thank everybody for reaching out and explaining this.
Well, it looks like we've got a mistrial. But on the plus side, we've also got a hung jury. Hit it!
All rise for acting's highest honor, Judge Reinhold.
So this was
I knew it wasn't crazy.
This was an Arrested Development bit.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't a real show.
Okay.
And Judge Reinhold is neither a real judge, nor has he received acting's highest honor. This was a thing they did a mock trial with the Bluth family. And whenever there was a hung jury, then William Hung and the hung jury would perform this song. Mock trial with Judge Reinhold. So what you're thinking of is an Arrested Development bit.
Okay, well, I haven't seen that in a while.
That was that ties up that loose end from a couple
of hours ago. I'm revisiting things, but I knew I saw something.
You're not crazy.
Number
three.
There's a YouTube influencer who faked his own death. And now, there's an update. He just fell 3 floors out of a balcony. He's one of the best known and controversial YouTubers in all of Latin America. Fell from a 3rd-floor balcony in Argentina. Yao Cabrera. He's from Uruguay. He's an influencer with millions of followers on YouTube. This cat has been in some scandals. Said to be, according to an Argentinian newspaper, La Nacion, he's said to be in a grave condition.
Yeah, I bet. Like, in a grave.
This is a guy who, again, at one point faked his own death. The newspaper cited both his lawyer and a boxing promoter linked to Cabrera. But this guy is known for faking his death in the past.
I mean, constantly?
Well, faking your death, it seems to me, is something you can maybe do once. But then you become like the boy who cried wolf with your fake death. Accident took place while he was filming a video on the balcony of his house. What he was filming and how he fell, still unclear.
Boy, that looked pretty real.
This guy rose to prominence over the past decade for his constant stream of videos detailing his life and adventures from when he was a teenager. This guy has 9 million subscribers on YouTube and another 9 million on Instagram. He's known to pull pranks and other sorts of stunts on his YouTube channel.
Now, how many people do you subscribe to on YouTube?
A handful? I'd say maybe a dozen.
Okay.
But everyone I subscribe to on YouTube are like dungeon masters and people that are...
Dungeon masters?
Yeah, it's like D&D stuff. Game masters, dungeon masters.
Let me show you the way.
And like I subscribe to like the White Sox, so I get updates from them. I might subscribe to maybe 20 people. Mm-hmm. On YouTube. I'm guessing you don't subscribe to anyone on YouTube.
No.
He's known to pull pranks. Back in October, he posted a video where he and another influencer faked their deaths using ketchup in a bathtub to fool a friend.
So lifelike.
That paled comparison to his own fake death. In December of 2020, he and his friends created a hoax video where 2 gunmen on a motorcycle murdered him while he was in his car. He's constantly faking his death.
Pretty elaborate.
Yeah, it is. Well, you got to get the views.
But people are watching. They want to watch snuff films?
I don't know.
I can't imagine snuff films are allowed on YouTube.
They shouldn't be. He is considered to be like the Logan and Jake Paul of Latin America. He recently decided to throw his hat in the boxing ring.
Oh, come on.
Just like the Paul brothers. And he's had a bunch of different scandals. In 2016, he did a video where he walked into a bicycle shop in Buenos Aires and rode out on a bike without paying.
And got hit by a bus.
He was arrested during the pandemic for throwing a drug-filled house party during quarantine just days after he faked his death.
Got hit by a bolt of lightning. During the party. Wow.
It was weird. He was killed by a giant box from the Acme Corporation.
Mm-hmm.
It's very strange, but very believable.
Big anvil fell on his head.
Well, he really did fall 3 floors out of a balcony, I think. All for content.
You know when an anvil hits you in the head?
Yeah. You don't forget that.
It never tilts, you know? It just kind of comes straight down.
Yeah, why is that?
It never like...
You're right.
I mean, because I think it... I mean, it getting hit by an anvil.
Well, that pointy end... You don't want...
Oh, boy.
You don't want that hitting you in the head.
That'd really be brutal.
I guess boulders... Boulders are free to move around. You wouldn't really know.
No.
If they're just a round boulder.
Right.
But you're right. Anvils... Cartoon anvils, when they hit...
They
kind of
stay where they...
Yeah, they hit you plumb. That's not bad. Not a lot of... Tumbling the around
same,
with the anvil.
The same thing goes for like a big black safe. It doesn't tumble either. It just comes straight down.
Well, the thing I like about when a safe hits you in the head,
it drives you into the ground.
Right. And then somehow
your head is, when they open it up, your head is in the safe.
It does. They don't open it up. it opens up automatically.
It just opens up, and right. there you are.
When you were a kid, did you think that when you got hit in the head, you'd have a big lump like in the cartoons? You know, like, well, when someone get conked on the head in a cartoon, they'll have a lump that, like, is 6 or 7 inches off the top of their head.
Nothing like that. I mean, I've been popped a few times where you do actually have a goose egg.
A goose egg, right. But I'm talking about, like, in the cartoons where it's like a, you know, it's like you got a railroad spike coming out of your head. I remember when I got conked on the head as a kid being furious that it wasn't more hilarious looking. I had to go with my fingers to find it even, where it's like, how is this?
You look in the mirror to see if you've got X's over your eyes?
Well, X's over the eyes, you can't look in the mirror, right? Or if you get conked on the head just right, there should be birds circling you.
Yes.
That never happens. I mean, at least it hasn't happened to me. Not as of yet. I'm not saying I would look forward to that happening. Or when a cuckoo clock hits you on the head. It's the same principle you're talking about with saves and anvils. Mm. But when a cuckoo clock hits you on the head, you're out cold, and then you open your mouth, and the cuckoo bird is somehow on your tongue. Now, if that were to happen in real life, that'd be pretty boss. You could see that. If somebody were to get hit in the head with a cuckoo clock, and then they would unconsciously open up their tongue, it would roll out like a red carpet, and then there'd be a cuckoo bird making noise. Now you've got something. I don't know that that happened to Yao Cabrera, but also I don't know that it didn't happen because I haven't
seen
it.
But you say he's in grave condition.
Grave condition. This is,
I bet.
Again, one of the biggest influencers.
Three floors.
Of all time.
Three stories.
Yeah. Filming some sort of hilarious video. He's said to be fighting for his life. Again, though, he's faked his death quite a few times. So it says here now that he supposedly fell from a third floor window.
All right, so the story's already changing.
He supposedly fell from a third floor, totally fainted, but he only spent one day in the hospital.
Okay.
Here's his most recent post. He says, I'm already at home. Thank you very much to all the people from my friends, family, the press, or even those who wanted me dead. I want to tell you I'm a little scared with what happened to me, and that for the moment I'm not going to be making any statements about what happened. So he's no longer in grave condition. He seems to be doing just fine.
Mm-hmm.
He's supposed to fight a guy in Dubai on March 5th.
Now, does he do a lot of fighting, or is this?
I think this is his first time in the ring. This is his first fight. So, is this a way to get out of having to go to Dubai and fight some cat? Nah. Look at this. He's in a wheelchair here with a bandage over his head. He looks like the guy in the Brady Bunch that was trying to take the Bradys for all their money in that
Jackie Coogan?
Is that who that was? Wait a minute. Uncle Fester was the guy who was trying to fleece the Bradys out of their money?
Yeah, take a look at it.
Really?
Yeah. Until Mike Brady throws a briefcase on the floor and can prove that this guy isn't hurt.
Your Honor, if it pleased the court, look at what I do with this. So that was Jackie. He takes matters into his own hands. Not happy with the legal representation that they're getting there. You're right.
We were both parked. But I was the one who looked back to make sure everything was clear. He couldn't have, otherwise he wouldn't have hit me.
No, you're the one that didn't look out because you hit me.
Oh, just a minute.
Whatever, Fester.
I believe you have had your turn.
If it please the court, Your Honor, if it please the court, I'd like to put this light bulb in my mouth. This is going to be hilarious. Watch what happens.
Children, are you witnesses?
Oh, yes, Your Honor.
I object, Your Honor. She probably told him what to say.
Mr. Duggan, the court does not need advice from you.
Why is that funny? Why did they laugh at that?
State your names, please.
Marcia Brady.
Robert Brady.
Cynthia Brady, Your Honor.
Wait a minute. Now,
children,
what's with the Robert?
The story that your mother told about the accident in the parking lot, Is that true? Did she turn around and carefully look before she backed up?
I don't know, Your Honor. She'd been drinking a lot.
We all had.
As per usual, she doesn't do a damn thing in her house. We got a slave lady that lives in the basement.
Yes, Your Honor, I saw her look back.
Are you sure?
Yes, sir, I'm sure. But Sydney and I didn't see her, Your Honor.
He spilled ice cream on my dress.
I did not.
You did too.
I did not.
You did too.
I did not.
You did too.
I did not.
Hey. You're
blowing
it. He
was ashing a blunt in my mouth.
Your Honor, he was... Your Honor, are you familiar with the term hot boxing?
Don't be seated, children. The court finds itself with two completely conflicting accounts of this accident. On the one hand, Mr. Duggan states categorically that he looked...
Now Mike Brady's got the briefcase.
That's,
and he's thinking,
right,
this is how I'm going to get this SOB.
We're
going
to prove that this guy doesn't have an injured neck.
I'm going to drop this so loud.
I'm going to drop it.
That Fester's going to look, and we all go home happy.
Uh-huh. Carefully before he pulls his car out. And on the other hand, Mrs. Brady contends the same thing. This leaves the court to settle the decision entirely on the testimony of both the litigants.
Oh, no!
Like an atomic bomb.
Oh, no!
What was in that briefcase?
Good God!
A dirty,
God, Mike!
A dirty bomb? We're all dead.
Take that. Take that, dummy.
It was...
We're all going to hell today.
Carrying plutonium around. We're all in hell.
Your Honor, if it pleases the court, I'll see every one of you in hell.
That's the last thing he said.
Oh, jeez.
Before he detonated the bomb.
Good Lord, Mike.
God almighty.
No one was expecting that.
I mean, I know you were trying to get rid of the family, but...
I don't think you thought this all the way through.
Number four.
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 Got a Florida story here. This one is very...
Florida.
Like... On a scale of 1 to 5 flamingos, this is a 5 flamingo Florida story. The headline, I think, says it all. Naked man pulls fire alarm at Tampa high-rise apartment and sprays people with a fire extinguisher as they evacuate. Cops were called to a high-rise apartment building after witnesses said the naked man pulled the fire alarm and sprayed people with the fire extinguisher as they evacuated.
Can you imagine getting hit with that, with a fire extinguisher? What comes out of that if you've got like an open mouth?
Oh, that's not good.
No, it's not good.
Naked man... Just wanted to...
You get that going up your nose?
It's not good. It's not ideal. This is not why...
That's not why they're there.
No. There's just a lot of levels to this where it's like, so this guy was going to spray us with the fire extinguisher as we made our way out. Why did he have to be naked? Like, I understand being a crazy person, but... This just seems like it's more crazy than it ought to be. This is what I'm into. This is my Friday.
Residents of a Tampa apartment complex had a very unusual experience just a short while ago. Witnesses say a naked man pulled the fire alarm, then sprayed residents with a fire extinguisher as they exited the building. It happened at the condo on 12th Street in Tampa. One witness, I should say, provided video and some photos of the scene as Tampa police responded, and they did capture the man. We're still waiting for word from Tampa police on exactly what took place here.
Yeah, I mean, he's not easy, not hard to miss. He's the naked guy running away with a fire extinguisher. I don't know what else you want me to tell you, officer. I think it's that guy over there. No one was injured as people were evacuating the perp-sprayed men, women, and children with the fire extinguisher.
But why?
Happy birthday to me, I guess.
Five.
Number five.
We take you now to the sandy beaches of Hawaii.
Nice.
Not to be confused, of course, with
I would like to be there.
In Hawaii?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It wouldn't be bad.
Yeah.
Our nation's pride lies deep within the hearts of its people.
American has faith in the liberty and justice, and we all have faith and believe in ourselves. Mm-hmm. The United States freedom and opportunity is one of the greatest. We are truly the land of the great. From the rocky shores of Hawaii to the beautiful sandy beaches of Hawaii, America is our home.
That's right.
That's right. That's America right. is made up of the Hawaiian Islands.
The other 49 states can kiss it.
You can pound the sand, but not our sand.
Not our sand. Beat it.
America truly is the land of the great. From the rocky shores of Hawaii to the sandy beaches of Hawaii. Hawaii is not something where, like, when people go to New Orleans, and then they come back and they call it New Orleans, that drives me crazy. You were there for a weekend. Yeah, you don't have an accent
you're
now.
You're picking up.
Right?
Yeah.
I love going down to New Orleans. Do you? New Orleans?
I remember one time.
You're from DeWitt.
We were.
Slow down.
We were making a road trip that led us through Kentucky and Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
And my buddy all of a sudden adopted the Southern accent.
As soon as you crossed into the...
We hadn't even got out of the car yet.
You're in Kentucky?
We hadn't even gotten out of the car. It wasn't like we're at a convenience store. Uh-huh. We hadn't even stopped for gas. There were three of us, and all of a sudden now you've got a Southern accent.
It doesn't make any sense.
And I'm not sure that you even saw the sign that said, "Welcome to Kentucky."
Just knew on a...
Just
on
somehow a, on a... Yeah.
On a cellular level.
Yeah.
It's time to start
level,
talking.
It knew that it was time to become a Southern dandy.
Oh, that woman got a mouth like an outboard motor all the time.
Oh, Foghorn Leghorn, you say the things we dare not say. This couple got a bill from the power company. Now, we're all dealing with going to the mail and getting the power company statement and having a little bit of sticker shock. That's something that I know a lot of us are dealing with. These folks, though, were quite incensed when the Hawaiian Electric Company, hey, you guys, the Hawaiian Electric Company sent them a bill for $18,000. And the reason it was $18,000, the electric company expects this couple to pay for the neighborhood streetlights. The streetlights in front of your home, we're going to need you to pay to power those things. The letter is dated January 27th.
For the entire block? For the entire street?
They say they've been reviewing established streetlight accounts, the Hawaiian Electric Company. They've been reviewing established streetlight accounts for streets located on Oahu since 2020.
Now, did Morgan Freeman ever work for the Hawaiian Electric Company?
Aloha, you guys! Rita Moreno did, I know. The letter says here, during the review, Hawaiian Electric learned that several of these accounts did not have an existing customer. One such account relates to the streetlights that are found within the street at Hala Malahua Place. The woman who lives there with her husband, her name is Desha Ann Kealoha, she says, I was shocked, overwhelmed, and confused. But I still remained hopeful there'd be some solution to this. My husband has a very colorful vocabulary, and he was upset. Initially, the Hawaiian Electric Company believed the street that had been dedicated to the city and county of Honolulu. But when they wrote the city said, no, nah, man, that's not our street. So the letter continues that we learned that you own the street. And because you own the street with which the streetlights are located, Hawaiian Electric believes that you're responsible for payment of electric energy supplied to these streetlights. So yeah, it's for the whole street. You have an outstanding balance of $17,860. The current unpaid balance is more than $18,000. And they send this letter explaining why, yeah, we expect you to pay for, it's like the entire block.
Right.
And they want this couple to pay. So the couple, of course, is saying, well, that's ridiculous.
I'm going to close down the beach.
Mary, we're going to need you to pay this off. This woman says that they were the only ones on the block to get this letter. And she says the other neighbors have all heard that our house owns the road as well.
And we call the shots.
But we never heard about that.
We are the Popes of Greenwich Village.
The neighbors were first to find out when they called the Hawaiian Electric Company to repair a street light that went out. The electric company said, we can't because it's a private road. We can't repair street lights on private roads. Homeowners say nowhere in their mortgage does it say that they signed an agreement to purchase the entire street along with the house. They reached out to the realtor, and the realtor said, well, that's something you got to go to escrow office for. I don't know what you're talking about.
Completely out of my hands.
So can you imagine? We need you to pay for the lights for your entire block, because when they sold you the house, maybe they didn't tell you that, but that's your responsibility,
well,
too.
Get ready for the purge, everyone, because that's not happening.
I guess this is something they do in Hawaii. The homes are developed with lack of infrastructure, cutting corners, and then getting away with it by pawning off private roads to homeowners. If that's the case, you know what I would do? I'd set up a toll booth. You want to get out of the neighborhood? Terrific. It'd be $10. I got to pay $18,000 for the street lights. All the other roads in the neighborhood are, the city pays for and the county pays for. Something about this road, this family is expected to pay the electric bill.
And everyone bring a hot dish to pass.
A poo-poo platter. Maybe some poi. No, thanks. Would you ever want to live in Hawaii? It seems like a fun place to visit, but I think living there would be just a hassle. I think I'd get sick of it after a week.
I'd consider it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And would you be... let me ask you this, knowing you, because I have a number in my head. How long would it take you? Let's say March 1st, mm-hmm. you move to Hawaii, mm-hmm. either the sandy beaches or the rocky shores. Mm-hmm. Let's say it's March 1st, 2022. How long is it going to take you to mutter under your breath about tourists ruining everything for you there in Hawaii? How long would it take for you to become resentful of tourists?
Pretty quick.
Like April 1st, right?
March 2nd. Maybe before the close of business.
Before your head hits the pillow that day, uh-huh. Your first night in your house.
Damn tourists.
These tourists, I tell you, they come over here and they, none but problems. We used to have a nice little island. We used to have a nice, proper little island, and now...
Oh, I don't know. Maybe it'd set up some sort of thing for tourists, like a kissing booth or something. I don't know.
Would you be wearing like a puka necklace, or what would this be made up of?
Yeah, it'd be a real good look.
Dressed up like Ginger or Marianne? What? How are you getting people to the kissing booth? Okay, so you're sitting there with a booth that says kissing booth, and then in parentheses, for tourists.
Only tourists.
I can't take a chance of something developing here. I need to know.
Right. I'm going to give you a smooch,
and you're getting on a plane.
I need to know that you're going to be leaving the island, that this isn't going any further than this.
I can't. You're welcome to visit us anytime, but aloha means hello, and it also means goodbye. So if you live here, I can't have that. This is just for tourists. Darren's Hawaiian kissing booth.
Gonna need to see your papers.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That was Dave and Darren's top five things.
Yep.
Thanks for listening, downloading, subscribing, and leaving reviews. All of it's very much appreciated. We also want to say thanks to our sponsor, Nature's Treatment of Illinois.
They have two locations, Milan and Galesburg, and you can order items online from both locations through Leafly. You'll find that at the website,
ntillinois.com.
Until next time, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities record spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Okay, so I'll see you later, huh? I'll give you a call.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.